A man who was injured in the gun attack which killed a 9-year-old girl in Liverpool on Monday night has been arrested. A government minister has expressed concerns about the conduct of some members of the Red Arrows after allegations of inappropriate behaviour. BBC News.
And the news is read by Alan Smith. This is BBC Radio 4, where in a few moments, Joe Lycett is in Birmingham, continuing his exploration of the nation's weird and wonderful obsessions. Today, featuring decluttering books, Luton Town FC, and a Guinness World Record-holding memorabilia collector. Details of what kind, after this.
We know our place. It's on the court.
Elena Rybakina wins the Wimbledon title.
At the wicket.
Sophie Love hits that for a sixth crucial boundary for the Welsh five.
On the track.
Ellis McColgan is the Commonwealth champion.
It's on the weightlifting platform.
Emily Campbell, a new games record.
In the pool.
The gold goes to Bethany Firth of Northern Ireland.
And on the pitch.
England, European champions.
Our place is everywhere.
History makers.
This is our BBC.
This is BBC Radio 4. Now, Joe Lycett's obsessions, which this week comes from the Glee Club in Birmingham.
Hello! This is Joe Lycett's obsessions, and this week we're coming to you from the Glee Club in Birmingham. A decade ago, I fell in love with comedy in this very room, and I look forward to falling out of love with it tonight. Obsession. It's a word that covers everything from collecting stamps to spending every night hiding in Nikki Campbell's garden. And I do that often. Many obsessives collect things that bring them pleasure. That might be stuffed animals, antique toasting forks, or, as in my case, a trail of damaged and broken hearts. Sorry, Barry, but going to Pret-a-Manger is not a date. Every week on this show, we'll be talking to the famous and the not-so-famous about the things that they're obsessed with. So if you want to find out about Philip Schofield's vast collection of extendable dining tables or Tess Daly's love of WD-40, you've come to the right place. I want to start off by telling you about just a few of the things that are obsessing me at the moment. For example, I'm totally obsessed with this clip from EastEnders in which Phil Mitchell discusses his latest lifestyle choices.
You need a doctor. You need professional help.
What I need is crack.
Great performance from Phil there. I think that deserves an Oscar more than Gary Oldman as Churchill. But I only think that because I am also on crack. I am also obsessed with Steve McLaren, who used to manage England, being interviewed on Dutch television and for some reason deciding to pretend to be a Dutchman.
I say, I think we are not just what you call underdogs, but massive underdogs.
Unterdogs. He continued to say he hoped they would have a sehr gut match and leave Germany as the Wieners. You don't get the full benefit just from the audio. In the clip, he's also wearing clogs and living in a windmill. I'm also obsessed with this. It's a song by a band called the Lotto Boys, and it's all about my hometown of Birmingham, the Venice of the West Midlands. Have a listen. The lyrics are Birmingham, manna from Birmingham, them gyala from Birmingham, gyala from Birmingham. It's essentially a list of people who are from Birmingham. Later in the song, they choose their favourite, and spoiler alert, it's Alison Hammond. Now, we have an audience here full of Birmingham-based obsessives, all ready to share their compulsive desires with us. Audience, shout out, I'm a disgrace!
I'm a disgrace!
We also have some celebrity guests to talk about their own obsessions, as well as meeting this week's VOP, a very obsessed person who will be sharing the details of their own rather unusual area of interest. It all sounds like good fun, but there are also high stakes, because I've got a prize to give the person who I think has the best obsession of the week. They will be getting this, the Joe Lycett's Obsessions tea tray. Carved in sweatshops from the finest asbestos. It's a conversation starter in any sitting room, and that conversation will start with the question, what is that piece of crap? So let's say hello to this week's celebrity obsessives, fantastic comedian Janice Connolly and broadcasting legend Nick Owen. OK, I like to ask a relaxing, informal question to break the ice. So, when did you last have salad cream? Nick Owen, when was the last time
I thought you were going to ask something else, and that would have been easier. salad cream, actually, I had it for lunch today.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh.
With sort of chicken and bacon sandwich type thing. You know? I live quite an exciting life, actually.
Yes. Janice, when did you...
I honestly can't remember. And I'm very sorry to say that I've gone to the mayonnaise side of life and I'm ashamed of myself.
Well, what wonderful stories. That's what I love about this show. We're not just laughing, we're learning. Janice, you've been in Coronation Street. I don't remember the character myself, but according to these notes, you played the tram that crashed off the bridge. Is that correct?
Yes.
Janice, you also run a group called Women in Theatre. Do you think you'd still feel positive about Women in Theatre if Stacey Solomon did Hamlet? But for your work in Women in Theatre, you won a BEM, didn't you? A British Empire Medal.
I did.
Yes, round of applause. What is that?
What is it?
How much is it worth?
I thought it was a BMX thing, but it's not. Well, it's worth a lot more than a CBE, actually. If you put it on eBay, I did look into it.
So, Janice, knowing you as I do, I would say your obsession is either Jean-Paul Sartre's 1947 work, Les Jeux sont faits, or mugs. Is that right?
Neither, really.
What's your obsession?
So, my obsession is decluttering books. I'm trying to declutter, but the problem is I'm just getting more and more stuff.
That is the opposite of decluttering.
I know. And I've got so many decluttering books. I don't know if anybody else is trying to declutter. And you find that you've just got more and more books about decluttering. It's hard. It's hard to get the stuff out of the house.
I mean, how many decluttering books are we talking about?
About 12. I've got about 12.
So they're working really well.
There's like a tipping point, I think, when you think, oh, I'll be able to get rid of everything. But you kind of think, who's bringing this stuff into the house? Then you think, I am. I'm bringing it in.
Do you have a cluttered house, Nick, or are you quite organised?
No, it's a bit cluttered here and there, especially where books are concerned. Funny enough, I bought myself a book the other day on Feng Shui, but I didn't know where to put it.
Is it true, Janice, that there's a book that I was reading about that you speak to items of clutter before you throw them away? Is that something that you do?
I've tried it. I think it's called The Joy of Clearing, and you actually say to something like, you've been really good to me, like to an old pair of tights or something, you know. We had a great night when we went to the Dome together all those years ago. And you've never let me down, but the time has come, and thank you. And you kind of say thank... I know it sounds dumb. You say thank you to them, and then you can let them go.
Mm. It's quite poignant then, isn't it, really?
Mm. Yeah. Mm.
I do it with family members. Mum, it was lovely being with you, but get out now. Do you put your clutter... like, ever try putting it in a specific place? You know, like, they have, like... some people have a clutter drawer...
Well, you try and put it in the bin, but then you always get it out again. That's the problem.
Do you love going down the dump
tip.
And stuff?
I love the tip.
Nick's nodding. You love going down the dump.
I've had some of my happiest times down to the dump. It's the queuing and everything, the build-up to it.
Yeah. Such lovely people as well there.
Well,
smelly but caring.
Yeah, you make friends, don't you? You make friends.
You
do. And sometimes you've got something really heavy. Someone, a complete stranger, will help you lift it over the top and see it crashing down. What a marvellous moment.
It's a good place, and you go and you're kind of concerned about recycling, and you say to the fella, well, I've got some paper and I've got this, where shall I put it? You just say, put it all in number 5.
Someone who is all about relying on only the essential things in life is the explorer Bear Grylls. He doesn't have time for carting around a load of tat. He only carries what he needs to survive. So we'd like to play a game with you that we call the Bear Necessities.
All right.
This is based on an interview that Bear Grylls gave to a magazine where he listed the 8 things he thinks you need to survive. We're giving you 5 guesses for items that are on the list. No clutter, just the all-important items that Bear says you can't be without. If you get one right, you'll hear this. A reassuring ding. If you get one wrong, you'll hear this. That's someone being attacked by an actual bear. So, what do you think is on Bear's list?
A knife.
Yes!
Some string.
No.
But he's a fool. You shut up, string. He's a fool, Bear. Right, OK.
Right, so
a
it's not on there. String is not there.
Is this for survival again, is it?
Yeah, this is for survival. The essential things. A knife is on there.
A tent.
No.
A sleeping bag.
No. I've got one more.
A blanket.
No.
What's he doing? He knows nothing about how to survive. Where is he going to sleep? How is Bear going to sleep?
I'll tell you what Bear has on his list. A waterproof mobile phone.
Oh.
A kayak backpack. No. Your own pee. Extra hiking socks. A laminated picture of family in order to keep up morale. He doesn't say whether it should be a picture of your family or of Bear Grylls. Bin bags, a knife and a Bible.
Oh.
No?
No.
He did miss
string,
out.
String.
What are you going to
do? Can I just ask the audience? Can we have a cheer if you agree that string should be there? I rest my case.
He missed out a couple of my essentials for survival, which are a hot tub, mood lighting, and a nearby Michelin-starred restaurant. Janice, thank you for sharing your obsession with us. Janice Connolly, everyone.
Welcome.
Now, when our audience arrived today, we asked them to fill out a piece of paper giving details of their own obsessions, as well as ticking a box that basically allows me to humiliate them on national radio. It's exactly the same thing they do on any questions, except instead of questions, I just have pieces of paper covered in your perversions. So let's see what the people of Birmingham are obsessed about. Let's have a look. Where's Katie Weaver? Right. We found Katie. It's quite long what you put here. But it's Zoflora disinfectant. The only student to love quick cleaning? Specifically, the winter limited edition scents. Have to stockpile them in both sizes, October to February. Always have approximately 6 bottles in my wardrobe. Not safe in a shared house. What's going on, Katie?
I'm just a bit obsessive.
What's so good about this as over other disinfectants?
Well, I didn't really know about concentrate disinfectant. I'd never lived alone before going to uni and then had to buy my own cleaning products.
You might be
projects.
Living alone for a while if you've got 6 bottles in your wardrobe.
Yeah.
Janice, you like threw your arms in the air for this.
Oh, for Zoflora. I like Freesia. I like the Freesia one.
Yeah,
it's absolutely fantastic. It's
so
very
sense.
It's brilliant. How are you getting on with the other people? Are they okay with it?
They're all dead.
No, they're glad. They don't have to clean, so they're glad. I went in and mopped the floors, because that's my job. So they're like, cool, crack on.
Well, thanks, Katie, for that. Rebecca Spiller. You've put roller coasters. I have pictures of them around my house as my laptop and phone screensavers. When I was 18, I worked as a waitress in an Italian place, and John Wardley, famous roller coaster designer, came in. I was so excited I got him to sign something for me, and I still have it 15 years later. I would dispute that John Wardley is famous as a roller coaster designer. Rebecca, so this started when you were 18?
Well before then. I think I was about 10, and my dad used to take me on roller coasters.
Right.
He used to take me up to Blackpool, took me on the big one in Blackpool, and that kind of started it all off.
Amazing.
Yeah, and I've just carried on riding them ever since. And John Wardley is very famous in the roller coaster world.
I apologise. what was he like? Was he nice?
He was lovely, yeah. I mean, he was...
He's probably going like, somebody knows who I am.
Yeah, that was exactly what happened. So he came in with his family and they all sort of said, how do you know who he is? And it's because I watched all his DVDs, obviously.
So he filmed stuff.
Oh yeah, if you go on YouTube, I mean, there's a YouTube hole you can fall down with John Wardley videos, hundreds of them, documentaries.
Have you been on like the biggest and the fastest ones?
Not in the world, because they're in America and I'm scared of flying.
Right. So. So you're scared of flying, but you love roller coasters.
Yeah, it's
and so
problem.
You're so scared of flying, you can't do it at all. Like,
not yet. I've got to get over it, I think, because there's
they
a.
They need
park
to build a
I
roller coaster to America, don't they? That's what they're going to be all right.
Get on that. Yeah, I'd do that.
Oh, how brilliant! What's the biggest one in the UK?
In the UK, it's still the big one in Blackpool, 224 foot.
The big one.
She knows her stuff.
It's just called the big one.
Thank you, Rebecca. Now, broadcasting legend Nick Owen is here with us. You present BBC Midlands Today, which is a roundup of all the local news from Birmingham and the Midlands. And it includes things like Pete Waterman walking around Coventry, a piece on how to recognise various bats, and reviving the River Severn's forgotten fish. Tell us, Nick, how do you handle all this non-stop drama?
Well, of course, it's a challenge.
Yeah.
Do you know, I absolutely love it. It's a real privilege being in people's homes night after night. We do telly. And of course, I'm on telly as well.
I found you in my mother's living room just the other day, actually. Now, Nick, I'm assuming your obsession is either the taut structure of Rachmaninoff's 1901 prelude in G minor or pinto beans. Which is it?
I don't really know much about either, I'm afraid.
What is your obsession, Nick?
Luton Town FC, because I come from round there. I've had 60 years of abject misery.
Any other Luton fans in?
No. A bit disappointing, to be honest.
Yes. So you go to 30 games a season, don't you? Even
roughly.
Though there are only three possible results. Why?
Yeah. Well, you either get football or you don't. I'm sure there's some football fans in here who understand. And I know people who think it's bonkers just seeing a load of men running around a field chasing a pig's bladder. But for me, it's in my DNA.
Oh, I'm going to start watching it now.
Yeah. It sounds great, doesn't it?
So do you have a favourite player in the current squad? Do you say squad?
Good word.
Good word.
Yeah, I do.
Am I
actually
one of the lads now?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Who is it?
Would it mean anything to you if I said?
Well, I know three football players.
Yeah.
David Beckham.
It's not him.
Wayne Rooney.
Not him.
And a friend of my dad's who, when he gets drunk, says he wants a trials for QPR.
No, it's the great Danny Hilton.
Oh, yes, Danny.
Yes. Yes. I thought you knew him when I said
it. Yeah, good guy. Really
and
nice.
You know, last season we had another striker alongside him called Marriott. So we had Marriott and Hilton, which is a perfect sort of hotel partnership.
We really did, yeah. Was there someone called Premier Inn as well?
Tommy Travelodge in midfield.
So, have you brought any memorabilia with you, any things from Luton Town FC?
Well, yeah, I brought a load of ties.
OK. You've got how many of these?
Well, about 20, but I couldn't be sure. But here they are.
And these are...
Whoa!
That's a nice one. It's a little bright...
Orange. Yeah, can you just call security in case people want to steal them?
The orange one's beautiful. Yeah. But I mean, so are they for different seasons? What are the ties about?
No, different size of neck.
Really?
No. 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 Who is this man?
I've been told off by Nick. I like it. So that, no, is but
you can, you, do you like this one? Because you can have it for a pound.
A pound?
No, they're just over the years. Some of these go back, you know, 20 years or more. But they change every season, just about.
So you get a new one each season?
Yeah, I mean, like this one, you see. A lot of people think I sold the caravan and kept the tablecloth. But this is actually the latest Luton Town tie.
That's the latest one?
Mm. Gosh. I can see you're envying that as well, aren't you?
Yeah, fresh threads. Do you ever wear them on the news?
Occasionally, but I have to wear the more subtle ones, you know, but not this one. Like people say, what on earth is he wearing? And I get into trouble. So occasionally I subtly wear one. But I wear one to all the games and stuff like that.
Didn't you get in trouble when you were presenting sport on ITV? You got into trouble for being a fan of Luton, is that right?
Yeah, sort of. I mean, I used to do ITV sport and I did things like the World Cup and commentated on the World Cup actually in 82 and presented it in 1990. But I had my regular programme on a Wednesday night on ITV and we used to show highlights of games. And, you know, I present in a normal way. Hello, good evening, welcome to Midweek Sports Special. Great to have you with us tonight. We've got some lovely games, etc. But...
I love this!
If it was highlights of Luton, people could tell, because I say, hi, welcome to Midweek Sports Special. What a programme we got for you tonight! People used to write in, it's before emails, write letters in saying they could tell Luton had won tonight because of the way Nick was presenting. So, that genuinely used to happen. So I had to really calm myself down.
Do you support a team, Janice?
No.
What is it about Luton that you love? Like, what is it? Why Luton? Is it the proximity to an airport? Or?
Well, that is exciting. It means a quick getaway is always on the cards. But I was born and bred about 12, 13 miles away. And that's where my father used to go. And you took me. And September the 3rd, 1958 was the first ever game I saw. A one-all draw with Leeds. Our goal was scored by Alan Brown from a left-wing cross by Jimmy Adam. Close to the tunnel. Back of the net. And I've been in love ever since. And
it's
tribal, it's part of you, you know, you just can't change it.
When you go to the games, do you go? Do you like eat with the fans, have some pies with the fans, or do you go up to the exec box?
Well, I do a bit of both because I was chairman of Luton for 9 years, so you know I was in the director's box, the boardroom, and all that sort of stuff. But I'm just sort of with the fans now, which is great. And all the away games, I'm having hot dogs and pies and things and queuing up, and I love it, absolutely love it. The home games, I go into the Eric Morecambe suite.
Now, so Eric Morecambe was a big fan of Luton, wasn't he?
He was a massive fan of Luton Town, and I'm a massive fan of his.
Yes, as am I. And you got some, like, an extraordinary bit of memorabilia from... well, it's not really memorabilia. It's like it was made for you. What is it that you've got in
first of all, before I show you that, I'll just point out that my cufflinks are Morecambe and Wise cufflinks.
Oh, what a lovely touch.
I'm very proud of.
yeah, they're gorgeous.
My ringtone on my phone is Bring Me Sunshine. Some of you will know that there's a big statue of Eric Morecambe on the seafront at Morecambe, his hometown, because his real name's Eric Bartholomew. And the guy who made that did a smaller version, which he gave to me, and it sits on my mantelpiece at home. And there it is.
That's brilliant.
And I love it. I love it.
It's beautiful. You're obviously clearly obsessed with Luton Town FC, but I want to test just how much you really know about the history of the club. So let's play a game I've called Guess Who Luton Town FC Football Club.
Absolutely.
We've got the names of some genuine Luton Town footballers here, and we've got the names of some footballers that we've just made up. What we want you to do is work out which of these are the imposters. Nick, which one of these is not a real Luton Town player? Ron Futcher, Terry Branson, or Harry Cup Final?
I think it's probably Harry.
Correct.
Terry Branston.
Yes, great Terry player. Branston made more than 100 appearances as a defender.
Yeah, indeed, but he often got into pickle in the defence.
Can I just say this is the best day of my life? Wayne Biggins, Daniel McTarnish, or Barry Butlin?
Only. Oh no, Wayne Biggins did play on loan and Barry Butlin did play, so it's the other one.
Wow!
I've forgotten about Wayne Biggins, who's only on loan for a very short time.
Yes, from Stoke City in 1995. Mm. 2 out of 2 right so far. Now, Ryan Darling, Colin Tinsley, or Sid Owen?
Sid Owen, my first hero. Captain of the side that got to the Cup Final in 1959, Footballer of the Year.
Yes, we made up Ryan Darling, who in my imagination played 3 seasons for Luton and then went on to kill 6 people. Finally, Maitland Pollock, Horace Wallbanks or Seamus Wriggleby?
Who's the middle one?
Horace Wallbanks.
He's before my time, but I think he'll have to be the last one. Seamus Diggleby or whatever.
Yes, you're right. That's 4 out of 4.
This is the greatest night of my life.
Yeah, we made up Seamus Wriggleby, who I like to think scored more than 200 times in the 1950s, but never on the pitch. Well, Nick, you've done extremely well. Next time you go to Luton Town, they probably won't string you up. Nick, thanks for sharing your obsession with us. Nick Owen, everyone. Right. I think it's time to go back to the audience and give my fellow citizens of Birmingham yet another chance to embarrass me on the national stage. So... where's Elaine Austin? This is a really lovely one.
Hi there.
Hello. Where are you from, Elaine?
From Worcestershire.
Nice part of the world. You put Colin Firth playing Mr. Darcy in Pride and Prejudice. Now, you say every time you have a pile of ironing to do, you play a DVD of it to see him walking out of the lake wearing his wet shirt. Stunning. I nearly burned the shirts watching it. Yes. How many shirts have you burnt, Elaine?
Probably about 12.
Are these your shirts or a partner's?
And my husband's.
Would you leave your husband for Mr. Darcy?
Oh, yes. Brilliant, brilliant.
Is he here with you tonight?
Yes, he is.
Can you put him on, Elaine?
Hello.
Hello. What's your name?
John.
There is a counsellor available after the show, John.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Elaine and John. I hope you stay together. One more before we move on. Wow, Chloe Needham. We get some unusual ones. This is pretty niche, I would say. Where are you from, Chloe?
Preston.
You put baby goats dressed in pyjamas. That's wonderful. I just don't know how this starts.
If you Google it, they're really happy.
Well, they love being in pyjamas.
Yeah, yeah, you never see a sad baby goat.
That's a challenge. So this is like a thing on the internet. People dress up baby goats.
Yeah.
And how often, like, how much are you looking at these pictures? Like, taking up a lot of your life, Chloe?
Every now and then, if you're feeling sad. Just Google baby goat dressed in pyjamas. It'll make you feel better.
That's really fabulous. Thank you, Chloe, everyone. Now, this is the part of the show where we speak to our special VOP guest, and that stands for Very Obsessed Person. This is someone whose obsession is more than just a hobby. It's become a massive part of their lives. Don't worry, usually in a good way. Please welcome to the show this week's VOP, it's Liz West. Welcome to Obsessions, Liz. What is your obsession?
It's the Spice Girls.
Oh. Yes! Yes, your obsession is the Spice Girls. Yep. When did this start?
Well, it was 1996, and I was a very impressionable 11 years old.
And this is like a full-on proper obsession, isn't it? Because you've got memorabilia.
Yeah.
Not just a little bit of memorabilia. How many pieces have you got, do you think?
I think there's about 5,000 individual items.
And you're the Guinness World Record holder for it, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah.
So, which is, I mean, it's extraordinary. So you've got the biggest collection of
in
Spice Girls memorabilia in the world. And you brought some of the stuff with you, haven't you?
Yeah.
What have you got in the bag there? Look at that. So tell us about this. This is a... It's a shoe she just held up to the audience. The audience in Birmingham just love a shoe. Yeah, whose shoe is this?
That is Jerry Halliwell's Union Jack boot, the original, the one she wore.
Janice, Nick, if you had a Spice Girl's name, what would you go for?
I would be Stringy Spice. We mustn't forget about String.
No, you won't let us, will you? You won't let us. Nick?
Hunky Spice.
Hunky Spice. Oh, I love it.
I can dream, can't I?
Liz, have you ever met a Spice Girl?
Yeah, three of them.
Which ones?
The two Melanies and Emma.
So not... Victorious.
Couldn't get near to her.
No, you wouldn't want to. Stinks of fags and crisps. You were saying that earlier it's quite hard to exhibit sometimes with some people because they're only sort of 20 or so years ago.
Yeah.
People don't respect it in the way that they might respect the Beatles memorabilia, that kind of thing.
Well, it's so recent history, but I think the Spice Girls were important in recent music history. But yeah, there's some old curators out there who doesn't appeal to them, let's say.
Yeah. Is there anything that you really want to get, like any final bit of memorabilia?
Well, the thing I really, really want.
Do you really, really want
it? I really, 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 really want a Jerry's Union Jack dress.
Where is it?
It's in the Hard Rock Cafe in Vegas.
Oh, let's go and smash it out of the cabinet. How much, do you know how much it's worth?
In 98, it sold for £42,000.
Whoa. This is extraordinary. Liz, thank you so much for coming on the show. Liz, everybody. We've heard about so many wonderful obsessions from the disturbing people of Birmingham, but only one of our obsessives can win the Obsessive of the Week tea tray. And this week it's... I'm going to give it to Elaine's husband, John. So I'm worried about him. So, a round of applause for John, our Obsessive of the Week. Thank you to our wonderful audience, my guests, Janice Connolly, Nick.